Are you having a good January?
Yes.
Are you excited about this year?
Yes.
Do you know the world will have a tendency of seeing the negative, the doom, the gloom, the OMG, another virus, another shutdown, or another catastrophe, or the end of the world, or the world's coming to an end, and resources are gone. And you, the devil has a way of being great at selling the worst. Just take away not just the global side, but the personal side. Has the devil ever whispered in your ear? Yeah, you have a little pain. OMG, that might be cancer. OMG, that could be this. It just, your imagination will just go wild with all of the negativity of the worst case scenario. That's what the devil wants to sell us. That's what the world, I mean, the whole thing even about, oh, we got to save Mother Earth. Let me help you out. The Earth's not your mother. Okay, nothing. If you believe that, we still love you, and you can love me, and we'll pray for each other, and it's all good. But according to the Bible, the Earth is not going to lose its resources. Created by God for us, and at the end of this, when it's all said and done, and God in Matthew 24 tells us that only God knows the time of the hour, only the Father knows, not even angels. But when the time is up, He's not going to destroy it. He's going to renovate it. He's going to get rid of all of the mold. Come on, somebody. That's been on the walls that we've allowed. He's going to get rid of all the clutter, all the junk. He's going to repaint it, refinish it. And then guess what? Because most people think when they get to heaven, they're going to stay up in heaven. No, we're coming down to the earth. Did you realize that? So the world, the earth's not going to, oh, we got to be careful. We got so many people. We're just going to destroy the earth. You're not destroying nothing. You can't eat that much to take all the resources of the earth. Come on, somebody. So just look at your neighbor and say, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. Just say, it's no big deal. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to celebrate you, to study your word. We ask for your hand of anointing, truth, and revelation, your rest, your peace, your comfort. To hit this place today, this moment, that the lives and the people that are here, that are watching, that are listening, would be touched by your presence, your truth. Yeah. We thank you for the anointing of revelation and truth that brings freedom and liberty. Move upon our hearts, our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
So just because the enemy tries to do something, the flip side, because we know that there's two kingdoms, a kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of darkness, that's how the devil operates. He tries to get you to operate in fear.
Right.
You'll start planning your funeral before you have a symptom.
Come on.
You'll start planning on where am I going to, if they repo my car, how am I going to get to work? You'll start planning out stuff way before it even happens. The flip side happens. God wants you to not be expecting the negative, but expecting the positive.
Amen.
He's wanting you to walk into this year not with the idea of, oh, OMG, are they going to shut down my job? Am I going to get sick? Or who's going to die in my family? No, God wants you to begin to look at the new year saying, Father, I thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Why would you rejoice? Because God has good plans in store for you. Say, God has good plans. Come on, say, God has good plans in store for me. And so when we begin to look from the God factor, he wants us to have hope, expectation on the positive note, on the positive note. And I think one of the things, if we're not careful, we'll get, it's easy to do this, we'll kind of fall back into the old habits of the world side and find ourselves becoming fearful, where God wants us to be on his side,
amen,
wants us to be faithful.
Right.
That's just not mean consistent, but full of faith,
yes,
expectation. Anticipation. You shouldn't wake up and say, oh, this is going to another year. No, you should wake up and say, Father, I think this is going to be a better year this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Proverbs 4 tells us that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter into the completed day, which tells me that our next year should be better than our last year. That our tomorrow should be better than our yesterday's.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, you know, it's not that way for me. Well, it can be.
Yes.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says.
Right.
Because we haven't heard, we can't have faith, because Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so we have to begin to see what God sees and begin to say what God's saying and begin to recognize and look at life our own lives, the lives of those around us, the lives of people that we're responsible for, in a way, in a manner that is filtered not through the past of our own pains, but through the promise of God's word, and begin to walk this thing out and say, Father, it might look one way, but I'm going to stand in line with what you're saying and expect another thing. I'm going to begin to believe what you said is true. Like Romans 4, Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, come on somebody, warm yourself up. It's cold outside, but it doesn't need to be cold in here. Shake yourself, that the God who made the promise. You might be feeling pain and the devil's saying you're going to die, and you might be symptomatic in the natural, but you can rise up and say, nope, the word of God says I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Are you listening to me? The devil tells you you're going to lose everything. Don't you realize that there is a demon that will come to your life and try to tell you that you'll never get wherever you're believing for? You might be praying for, oh, I'm believing I'm going to get healed. I'm believing I'm going to be successful. I'm believing that I'm going to have a family. I'm believing I'm going to get married. There will be a demon that will come and tell you and whisper in your ear that, no, it'll never happen for you.
Right.
No, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You keep trying. That's just wasting time. Things haven't changed yet. You've given offerings and you haven't seen anything yet. You've been nice to people and they're still mean. Don't mess with that. It works for other people. It won't work for you. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, when Goliath was taunting the children of Israel, and David showed up to bring food and he heard the taunting of Goliath, that many theologians believe that he would come out to taunt them when they were assigned to go pray and seek God. So certain times of the day, they would go and they begin to worship and pray and stand before God in their prayer life. And during their prayer time, Goliath would step up and say, over here, basically, Greg Bruce translation, over here, you can't do anything. Nothing's going to happen. You're about to lose. You're about to die. You have no hope. You have no hope. He was taunting them. Send one person out. We'll get this over quick. He was intimidating them. See, that's what the enemy will try to do. He'll try to intimidate you. He'll try to intimidate you so you feel like, I have no hope. There's no reason for me to do this. There's no reason for me to try. It'll never happen for me. He's trying to push you out. He's trying to keep you out. But when you get the word on the inside of you, you'll begin to wake up and say, wait a minute, I can do this according to the word of God. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you begin to obey God and walk through the process. But once you break through that wall and you get to that level, and once you get to that next level, do you know the devil's going to try to tell you, you can't stay there. You can't stay. Oh, yeah, you got that job and you're getting paid better, but you know, it won't last. Don't you remember so and so? They had a great job and it only lasted a year and they lost everything. You should have stayed where you're at. You should never try to be more. You know, you're just trying to be more. You're trying to be something you're not. No, I'm trying to be something I am in God. Amen. And there'll be a demon that tries to tell you you can't get there, and then there'll be a demon that tries to drag you back and say you can't stay. And then there's a demon that'll try to say, just be grateful for where you're at. Stay comfortable. Be appreciative. But let's not do any more. Let's just stay where we're at. Don't go too far. You've witnessed to a few people. Don't go too far. You've prayed a little bit. Don't go too far. You went to church 3 times last month. Don't get radical. Don't go too far. I remember years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I had a lady call me, a concerned mother. And she was serious. She called Pastor. She said, Pastor Greg, I got a real concern about my son who's in your youth group. Well, when a parent calls and you're a youth pastor, and those conversations do happen more than you want, but you know, teenagers can sometimes deal with stuff. And so I'm like, okay, what's going on? Oh, I'm so concerned for him. Well, your natural imagination can go wild, right? A friend calls you and says, oh, I need your prayers, you hear me, for my child, my son, he's a teenager. What do you start thinking? Oh, I mean, there's a whole list of things. What are they in? What are they in? What are they in?
Right.
And I said, what's the problem? And I'll pray with you. Well, you know what? I've been noticing at the house, he's spending too much time reading his Bible. You ever had a moment when something's happening and you're like, did I hear that right?
Yeah.
In fact, the other night, I got up and I went to check on him in his room, and he had the TV on, and you know what he was watching? He was watching some preachers.
My Lord.
Okay. I don't understand the problem, ma'am.
Right.
Oh, you don't understand. I had a friend, and she knew somebody who's teenager. He wanted to, he was like, would read his Bible all the time. And this is how the story went. He would read his Bible all the time, and he wanted to go in the ministry. And do you know, when he was 17, he died. I don't want my son to die. She was thoroughly convinced. The devil had her convinced that it's okay to come to church some, but don't you read your Bible too much. Don't you love God? Because, you know, bad things can happen. And I said, ma'am, I don't think there's a connection here between your son and that other situation. No more than if it rained on one day and you got a raise and you're praying for rain because you think it's going to give you a raise. There could be correlations to stuff, but not necessarily a connection to stuff. Are you with me? And so there might be a devil that will tell you you can't go to where God's called you. There's a devil that will try to tell you that you can't stay where God's just brought you. And there will be a devil that will try to tell you to just stay where you're at and let's not go any farther. But those are all boundaries created by the enemy. To keep you from what, are you listening to me? To keep you from what already has been provided by your heavenly Father for you. What you have to understand, God has already provided it through the cross of Calvary. Yeah. And so greed is wanting something that doesn't belong to you. I'm not talking about you being greedy. I'm talking about you walking out the destiny that your heavenly Father has for you and living a life saying, Father, whatever that next level in that you have for me, I don't know what that level, every level's different and where you're at. You might be you might be in third grade. It's time to move to fourth grade. You might be in sixth grade math. It's time to go to seventh grade. You might be in junior high spiritually, but it's time to go to high school. Are you with me? You might be just graduating high school, but it's time to, let's go on to the next level. Say next level. Say next level. I'm telling you, in the realm of God, there is always a next season, a next level for the children of God. Are you listening to me? As long as you're on this side of eternity, Pastor, how do I know when I've reached all the levels? When you get to heaven, that's how you know. When you get to heaven. You're not going to reach all the levels on this side of eternity. Oh, I know so much about God, there's not anything else to learn. No, you don't. Enoch walked with God and then he was not. As long as you're on this side of eternity and you can feel yourself smack your own hand, you still have room to grow. And that's not a negative thing, that's a good thing, because God has something good in store for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he's revealed them to us by our spirit. And so we have to awaken to the reality that wherever you're at, it doesn't mean that you are in a bad place, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person, it doesn't mean that you aren't successful. I'm telling you, in every level, there is a next level from God for you in your marriage, in your health, in your finances. Are you listening to me today? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that according to Ephesians, that you would let the anointing of wisdom and revelation come upon them, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may see and know the level that you had for them to step into in this year, in the name of Jesus. Someone shout amen. We pray too many times, and I've done this too, that we pray and we use examples and illustrations of the prophet who said to his servant, oh God, open his eyes, and he'll begin to see the enemy, but also see the opportunity, what God's doing. We need our eyes open, amen. I want you to walk out of here knowing that there is a mantle on your life starting today. If it had never been before, there is a mantle coming on your life starting today, that your eyes would begin to be open, your expectancy begin to be raised, that you begin to realize that your Father is not holding you back. Your Father is inviting you in. He's not saying you can't. He's saying, come unto me. He's not saying, no, you can't. He's saying, come on, you're welcome. I'm inviting you in to that miracle. I'm inviting you in to that process. I'm inviting you in to that blessing. I'm inviting you in to that impact. I'm inviting you in to make a difference in your generation. I'm inviting you in to reach those people. I'm inviting you in so that your life will be greater than your own ability, and it will glorify God. You are a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Religion will just say, oh, just try not to do anything bad and just try to show up a little bit. The kingdom of God says, no, there's increase. There's something for you to do. There's someone you're to become. You're to grow into the image of Christ through the knowledge of God. Are you listening to me today? We can get so comfortable. Some of us who have been saved for a long time, we can get so comfortable. Oh, I got it down. I figured it out. You figured out one level. You maybe have figured out how to operate at 11th grade. Oh, I got it down. I know when we eat lunch. I know how to do with the teachers. But now you're not in 11th grade. You're not in 12th grade anymore. Amen. You've moved on to a university. I remember after I graduated high school and I had gone to a Christian private school. It was small. By small, I mean we had a graduating class of, I think, 12 students. 12. You know, that's what you call an appetizer in a meal. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not going to be a three-hour graduation unless you do a lot of songs and unnecessary stuff. 12, 12, 12. You can't hide out with 12. And I went from there, and I went from that private school, which I left, then I went into a university. Now, I went from a small school, small class of 12, to some of my lecture halls had 400 students in it. That's a paradigm shift. Professors didn't know my name, they just knew my number. 863-964. Why I remember that number after all these years, I don't know. I mean, even when you would get your grades, they'd post them on the wall and they wouldn't have a name, you just have to look at the number. It's like the movie. Not in Kansas anymore. The world has changed. It was a different paradigm, a different perspective. I couldn't operate the way I operated at a small school at the next school. And some of us, we get so comfortable, and sometimes you need to look and say, wait a minute, if I'm not being stretched, maybe I'm still staying in my comfort zone of where God's brought me and not open for God to stretch me, stretch me to the next level that he has for me. Say, God has. Come on, shout. Say, God has. Say, God has more in store for me. Does that, again, that scripture, eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has revealed. It didn't say your eye, it said anybody's eyes. That means God has some big stuff in store. That it has to be revealed to us by his Spirit. Say, open my eyes, Father God. One more story and we'll get into the scripture. When I was 7 years old, I don't know, I'm talking about growing up all of a sudden, but when I was 7 years old, my parents had sold their house and moved to a different house. And in the backyard of that house, there was a lot of different trees. And in those days, when you're 7 or 8 years old, the world's changed, obviously, if you're based on who you are, you'll totally relate to this. I mean, when I was 7, 8 years old, we didn't have all the technology we have today, obviously. You know what I mean? 10 years ago, we didn't have the technology we have today. I remember when we only had 3 or 4 channels. You remember that? 2, 4, 5, 11, and then you, which was 30, on the second knob. And you had an antenna. And there was no remote. I was the remote. How many people you had? Your kids, you were the kid that was the remote, right? One of your parents saying, oh, I don't want to watch this. Let's surf the TV. Yeah, I mean, there's no surfing. You got 4 channels, right? And how many people remember that at a certain time of night, the TV went off? Do you remember that? Play the play some music, show the flag, and then it goes, doo, and it was it. You had to wait till the next day before any programming. Some of you have no idea what we're talking about. We didn't have any games. No social, no cell phones. So it's like when you were doing something, usually you were out playing with your friends, right? We'd get off the bus at school, grab our bike, and just have to be home when the street lights come on. Anybody have that kind of life too? And if you weren't home and the street light came on, my mom would stick her head out the front door and would yell my name. And if I didn't come, when she first yelled my name, then she would start adding to that. Not derogatory phrases, but she would just add my full name. So instead of Greg, I'd get the Gregory Stephen. And then you knew Sometimes you talk to people today and they're on their phones and you're talking right at them and they're not hearing a word. It's amazing how our ears could hear so much. I mean, we'd be a mile away. Come on, somebody. And you hear your full name come in and you're like, I got to go. So anyway, and so we would, you know, I mean, growing up, we'd be outside playing all the time. And in my backyard, we had an apple tree. And so it wasn't like we had, if I was hungry and I was outside in the summertime, I'd grab an apple. And one of the things I noticed growing up outside a lot was that with apples, obviously you can just eat them. But I noticed there was three ways, basically, from my perspective, on getting apples. Now, the first level, I'll just go through this real quickly. The first level is always, and you'll remember this if you've been around trees that produce fruit, is that there's always fruit on the ground during this right season, right? And you can always grab an apple off the ground. But it creates some problems. One, it could be dirty. You know what I mean? Don't mind grabbing it off the tree and eating it, but off the ground, it's kind of a little gross. Also, it could be dirty. Besides dirty, it could be rotten. You know what I mean? Sitting there based on how long. And I've noticed also you're competing. You're competing with other people getting access to those apples. It could be people. It could be animals. It could be birds. So there's a next level that soon discovered that, hey, I don't have to rummage through a bunch of bad apples to find a good apple if I'm hungry. I could just look up a little bit. And if I look up a little bit, I could see these apples on the tree that were hanging down. Right. Low-hanging fruit, you might say. And I could reach those, and I could grab those off the tree, and I could eat that. I'm not competing against other animals necessarily, or other people that maybe not notice them, or them being dirty. So I was able to reach that apple. The third level I noticed over the process of time, and I guess just being bored in the yard and having to use your creativity, and I remember the day looking up and thinking, man, that's a pretty good-sized tree. I can climb that tree. There's better apples higher up.
All right.
But I had to put some effort and energy to it.
Yep.
But if I climb to the near the top of the tree, those apples are a little different. They really are.
Yep.
More access to sun and all. And so I begin to climb the tree to get to those apples. You say, why do you care? Why are you telling me about some stupid apples? Because what you have to realize in your prayer life, in your goal setting, in your expectation, there is levels to the things of God.
Yes.
And some of us are walking around living life, and all we get from God is, and all we're expecting from God, and all the answers that we are seeing from God are the ones that are the fruit that's on the ground.
Come on.
And we begin to praise God for things that it is happening for everybody. Thank you, God, for that raise. Well, praise God, God gave you a raise, but everybody in your business got a raise too. So the unsaved person got a raise too. The atheist got a raise too. Well, praise God, you got a, and we should be giving God, thanking God for the raise. Do you see my point? But it's happened to everybody. Do you see that point? And some of us walk around and we're looking for God to answer and we're looking for the fallen fruit. And when we don't see the fallen fruit, we get frustrated at God because we don't see the fallen fruit. And we live our lives based on the level of the fallen fruit. And everything that comes from God is stuff that literally someone could argue out of that situation.
Right.
The reason there's a lot of people that don't believe in God is because they don't know anybody that's moved beyond the fallen fruit. Oh, those Christians, they're just crazy. I mean, they say God answered that. I could give a reason. No. That happened to everybody. Now, again, we should be grateful, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. But I'm saying there's a level of living where you live your life and all your goals and it answers your prayers and what you get from God. And all of a sudden, if you want to live at the level of fallen fruit, you can stay there.
Right.
But there's a next level.
Sure.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
There is a next level. Level. It's going to take you changing some things
right, for
you to not worry about the fallen fruit and say, okay, God, I know you have something more for me. God will say, look up. Say, look up.
Look up.
I'm going to get you in this illustration of mine. This is my own parable. You got to look up. And when you begin to look up and see things differently and reach for, there is more fruit on the tree than the ones rotting on the ground. Some of us have settled for rotten experiences or so-so experiences or in our prayer life and our walk with God at church because we're living on fruit that's fallen. But God said, I have a next level for you. There's always a next level. That's what I'm trying to get to you. That next level is, but you got to look up. You can't get to the next level looking down. You can't get to the next level doing what you did before. You have to readjust, redefine how you're doing it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, first scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. While we look not at the things which are, look at that, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are, how do you look at things that are not seen? For the things which are seen, what you can see in this three-dimensional world, is temporal. That word temporal means temporary or subject. Are you ready for this? Subject to change. You're good. So when the doctor says this, X, Y, and Z, bad report, you know that if it's not in line with the Word of God, then it is, though you can see it, it is subject to change. Now I believe in science. I like learning about science and how things work. I like watching programs that I like the idea of time travel. I like all these weird things. I just love that kind of stuff. But what I've noticed over the years is that science keeps on getting closer to the Bible, not the Bible closer to science. The things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes.
The things which are seen are temporary. What do we do? God is saying, you're focusing on just the temporary. So-and-so hurt your feelings and you're feeling it. I know, that feels real, but it's temporary.
Right.
Something happened to your checking account. I know that's that you're feeling it, but it's temporary. I know this happened with your job, but it's temporary. Right. It feels eternal. We understand that when you might look at your teenager and they come home all upset because someone broke their heart and told them they don't love them anymore, and you look at your 13-year-old and say they didn't love you in the first place, don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's a subject for another time. It's probably too soon. So let's get into what we're dealing with. And what do? You try to let them know, I know your heart's broken, but it's not permanent.
Right.
It's temporary. It's going to change. It's going to change. It can change. As we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, subject to change. But the things which are unseen, the truth of God's word, is eternal.
Right.
God's saying, listen, I need you to look up. If you want to live at the land of fallen fruit, you can. But there's a next level. But we have to look up. Say, look up. And we got to stretch to reach for it. Amen? But there's a next level. Say next level. Oh, the next level is when you look back and say, wow, I might have to climb that mountain, but I'm going to experience God, as Moses said. Elijah said, I'm in a problem, so I'm going to run till I get to the place where I need to encounter God. It might take more energy. It might take more time. That's why we spend time at the beginning of the year fasting, if you're fasting with us. And I encourage you to do that at your own level of faith. So don't try a 40-day fast if you haven't done a 21-day fast. Don't try a 21-day until you've done, you see my point. But walk this out and grow in it. Because we realize that there's next levels and next seasons that don't come because the truck has been backed up and fallen to our lap. Most Christians, not here, most Christians globally, most Christians, the only thing they have from God is the fallen fruit, the things that have just fallen into their lap. And yet God's saying, I'm inviting you to so much more.
Yes.
I'm inviting you to so much more. I'm inviting you to so much more. And you can stay at the fallen fruit, or you can say, I'm going to begin to see a bigger picture, and I'm going to reach for the fruit. But there's a bigger level than the fruit that's hanging from the tree. You can climb to the top of that tree and begin to experience things that God has for you. Listen to me, that the other people who are living in the land of fallen fruit cannot deny, cannot ignore, cannot... discuss it or negotiate or debate or argue you out of it. How do you look at a man, though you don't agree with Jesus, and but yet he's healed somebody and he's blind, and they asked him, how did he do that? And his answer is amazing. He said, I don't know. I can't tell you any of that. But one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. Do you see my point? That's not low-hanging fruit. That's not fallen fruit. That's fruit at the top of the tree. When you begin to experience the things of God that are so out there that cannot be denied. I'm believing, and you're saying, well, I'm not blind. I don't need to see. But there's things in our life that God can do. And I'm believing that in this year, if you'll join your faith with mine, my faith is that this year, not 20 years from now, not 10 years from now, not when you get to heaven, but this year, you'll be able to walk and experience and taste and see and know the goodness of God at a level that can be evident by people who do not know God, who do not believe in God, who do not like God. We've seen people, I got a raise. Everybody got a raise. That's great, you got a raise. But we've seen people get raises, big raises, where they pull them to the side and say, don't tell anybody. We haven't given anybody this level of raise while they're cutting everybody else back. Are you listening to me? We've seen people that go to the doctor and the doctor scratches his head and says, I don't know. I have one x-ray that says one thing and I have another x-ray that says something different. I do not understand it. It's great for doctors to be confident in their practice. But there's another thing when you can confuse the wise. The Bible says that God likes to confuse the people who think they're really smart. He likes to do stuff in your life and all of a sudden it becomes so amazing and so evident that they can't deny it. They don't know what to do about it. They can't stop you. He will prepare a table of provision for you in the midst of your enemies. Why? Because he's a good God and he likes having fun with the enemy. He said, I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to let them know. Because the devil will try to think, oh, that wouldn't happen for them if I was around. The devil said, get close because you can't stop me. Get nearby because you can't. You got to quit trying to get everybody to like you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to vote for you. Not everybody's going to follow you. Not everybody's going to share your post. Not everybody's going to be in your corner. Not everybody's going to be your cheerleader. But if God be for you, come on, I'm talking to somebody. You might feel all alone today. You might feel isolated. Today. You might feel rejected and dejected today, but I'm telling you, if God is for you, who can be against you? Rise up, woman of God. Rise up, man of God, and realize there's more for you than against you. You don't have to settle for what the enemy's serving. You can approach the table of God. Say, I'm approaching the table of God. Come on, we're going to walk up to the table of God. You're going to walk up to the table of God. Some Christians are waiting for God to force feed them. He's not going to force feed you. He's not going to override your will. He's not going to do what most mothers do to babies and cram that stuff in your mouth. No, he prepares it, but you have to choose to eat it.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Woo. I pray that you get so dissatisfied with the fallen fruit life that you begin to say, starting today, I will no longer settle. I will not insult God with small thinking. I will not insult God with small prayers. I will not insult. I'm going to begin to believe according to the promise of his word and his ability. Abraham, again, Romans 4. Abraham did not consider his own body, now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was fully persuaded. He was so persuaded, not because of his ability, but God's ability. You know what that tells me? Take yourself out of the equation. Take your skill set, your ability out of the equation. Take what you can do. Oh, I can get it done. Then you're not believing big enough.
All right now.
Some of us aren't stretched anymore because we do everything within the skill set of what we've developed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
how do we do that? Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Notice this. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live, that you may, talk to me, church. Do what? That you may what? Live, and that you may,
multiply.
That you may,
live and multiply.
Live and what?
Multiply.
Shall multiply.
Multiply.
Shall multiply.
Multiply.
Don't ever let the devil tell you that God wants you to hide out in a corner and be insignificant. God does not want you to be insignificant. Jesus said you are a light to the world. You are a light. You do not hide the candle. You position a candle to benefit everybody in the room. You are not insignificant. Sin and the devil will tell you you are insignificant. Condemnation will tell you you are insignificant. God will tell you, I want you to grow. I want you to increase. I want you to live and to
multiply.
Come on, shall multiply. Some of you, some of us have been in the religious world so long, it just tastes funny in our mouth, don't it? To say multiply. We've been taught so long that God wants us to decrease. No, you are dead in your own self, but you live unto God. And that life that you live by faith in the Son of God. Come on, somebody. I always think it's amazing how some preachers, and I'm not picking on anybody, but some preachers will tell you that God doesn't want you blessed, and they'll take up three offerings and maybe four. And they get, call you if you didn't tithe. Call you if you didn't give. When you preach poverty, you can't have both ways.
Right.
I had one individual come to my office years ago and was going through this whole thing about her spiritual gifts and was taking this test and wanted me to look over it. And I guess I had the expression, and she's like, what's the matter? And I said, well, I got a little problem with what they're calling a spiritual gift. And she said, what? I said, there's one spiritual gift they called poverty. She goes, well, don't you think that there could be a spiritual gift? I said, not in the Bible. Well, don't you think you can give and live at a level of poverty? Not if you follow the Bible.
Listen,
folks, God already has everything. If you're a child of God, you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the precious blood of Jesus. So God has everything. So he owns it all. So he's not wanting you to give every dime and dollar you have in the offering. Can I get an amen? So the offering's over, and you never heard a preacher say that. Usually preachers said, you got to give to the Lord. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give. You should give. Generosity works. Tithing works. Alms work. Seed giving works. These are different levels. We'll spend a whole message on them one day because I think a lot of Christians don't know the difference between alms, seed giving, offerings, and tithes. But anyway, you hear me? And I said, no, not according to the Bible, because the Bible tells me, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give it to your bosom. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Mark 10, oh, you know, and you know what most people quote? I don't mean to go down this road, but we're here. I'll stay there and I'll back up in a minute. You know how most people quote, oh, yeah, what about the rich young ruler? Jesus told him to sell everything he had and give to the poor. What you have to understand is they were working under the context of the Old Testament. Because Jesus didn't come to destroy. He came to fulfill the old covenant, he said. And so the fulfillment of it was him being on the cross. So during the time of Jesus on the earth, in ministry, they were working under the parameters of the old covenant. Can I get an understanding? Amen to that. And under the old covenant, according to Proverbs, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay. So what Jesus was asking the rich young ruler to do was, trust me enough, and I'll give it back to you. But his love for his money. Now, he goes on to say that it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, oh, Lord, who can get saved? And he said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Peter goes on, and you got to love Peter. He's the first one to jump into stuff. And Peter, again, challenge everything I said. Read it on your own time. Don't take my word for anything. You got to challenge this so you can develop it in your own self. And Peter said, Lord, we have given everything to follow you. So Peter was looking for a pat on the back on this one. And Jesus responds, and this is Mark chapter 10. And Jesus responded back to him and said, no man gives anything, houses, lands, properties, to me or the gospel's sake, that doesn't receive back in their life 100-fold and relist them with persecution and in the life to come eternal life.
Right.
What was he saying? Peter, you think you're being bragful about what you've given, so you feel like you're living at a lower level. I'll tell you, if you've given it to me in the kingdom, it's got to come back to you.
Amen.
And an increase. 100-fold, he said there.
Right.
And so I said to the person, they said, don't you think you can give and just live in poverty? Not if you do it the Bible way.
Right.
That's getting quiet. Because some of us don't do it in the Bible way. Some of us do it in the religious way.
Come on.
Some of us do it in the legalistic way. But when you follow the word, he gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower.
Amen. Yes.
So some things you're supposed to enjoy and eat, and some things you're supposed to sow and invest.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Got quiet. Okay, we'll move away from money. I'm not taking up an offering, so take a deep breath. Nudge your spouse and say, you can put the wallet back. Don't hide it anymore.
Bring it back out. All the commandments which I command you this day, you shall observe and do, that you may live and multiply and notice and go in and possess the land which I have swore unto your fathers. Go in and possess the land. Go in and possess. Oh, Lord, just give it to me. And we're waiting for a truck. Beep, 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 beep. I guess God's not going to do it today. No, you can live at the land of fallen fruit, of what just happens to show up. Or you can step into the land of the next level and the level after that and the level after that. And that first level might be just to reach up and grab the fruit that's nearby. And that's good. That's enjoyable. It's better than the land of fallen fruit. It's better. But after a while, God will say, listen, there's a next level. Come up a little higher. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I'm used to this. This is all I have to do. I don't have to climb. I don't have to move. I'm staying here. He goes, yeah, and that's fine. You can live their whole life there and get to heaven. And God loves you. Jesus loves you. And Pastor Greg loves you. You are set. And I'm telling you. But if you want to go to the next level, the Father invites you. He's not saying, no, keep out. He's saying, come on in. Come on up. Come to the next level. And you begin to climb that tree and say, I can live at the land of fallen fruit. But you know, one of the things I noticed as I climbed the tree and I looked down, the fruit that looked so important before seems less important anymore. The things that looked so big seem insignificant. Have you ever looked out of a plane and the buildings that were so giant now look so small? Things will change your perspective. There's a lot of Christians, they live in the land of fallen fruit, and the first rotten apple, they get all upset and they cry and they complain. Climb the tree a little bit and then you begin to see the things that used to freak you out and mess you up and offend you, get you all bent out of shape, won't bother you anymore. Don't let little things, small things, stop you from the great things that God has for you. Amen. And so we begin to look and say, wait a minute, I need to possess the land. I need to possess the land. The land's not going to just fall in my lap. It's just that there's things you have to do. You have to possess the land. There's some giants in the land, but don't worry about the giants in the land. They're keeping your crazy relatives out. Come on, somebody. Because if it was open for everybody, somebody would have got there before you and tried to take ownership as a squatter. But no, it's not everybody's land. It's your land. Do you see my point? And when God reveals his word to you, Deuteronomy 28 says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you. All of a sudden now when God reveals his word, you gain ownership. Again, eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them. When they're revealed, now you have ownership. When they're revealed, now you have ownership. When they're revealed, now you have ownership. And you have to pursue this. Most people don't realize that when they get a word of prophecy maybe, or a scripture that came alive to them, they think that all they have to do now is put it on autopilot and cruise control and let God bring it in. No, that's not the time to put it on autopilot. That's when you contend with the faith. That's where Paul told to Timothy, with the prophecies that I've given you before, with the prophecies you receive, by these you will work and fight a good fight. You got to begin to get a hold of saying, okay, God, I just got the revelation that you told me in 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes I'm healed. I have that revelation. I have ownership. Now you don't go on spiritual vacation. Now you contend. Now you possess. Now you go in and say, it's mine. It belongs to me. You don't sit outside in your car of a house that is owned by you, that a stranger's living in, and you watch him coming in and out, in and out. And you sit out in the cold and say, I hope one day they realize they're in the wrong house and that house belongs to me. No, you pick up your keys and you walk, and if you have to, you call some authority to back you. And you walk up to the door and say, I don't know who you are, and I don't really want to know who you are, but if this is my house, this is my key, and these people of authority have come to enforce what belongs to me. When you walk up to the devil, you can say, listen, devil, I don't even care what your name is, but I want you to know I have the key of God's word. This is mine. This is mine. And the power of God is back of me. The authority of the name of Jesus is back of me. And you have to flee. You have to uproot yourself. You have to get stepping. You have to leave. I am tired of being polite, waiting for you. Some of you are polite people, but some of you are so polite, you're polite to the devil. You don't need to be polite to the devil. You need to let him know he has messed with the wrong person. And you're walking in and say, listen, others maybe have let you do this. They might play your game. I'm not playing your game. I'm not playing your game, stranger. I'm not playing your game, devil. You got to let the devil, I hear that in my spirit. You got to let the devil know you're not playing his game anymore. The board has changed. The game has changed. You are playing the game of God. And he is a violator. He is an intruder. He has no rights. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he doesn't and cannot do it if you stand up and say, I rebuke you and I resist you. Because if you rebuke the devil, he will. Oh, you guys are good. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith, notice this, who through faith, most people think faith is just a warm and fuzzy, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, what we just talked about, sometimes you're going to have to go into places that thought they had authority and say, nope, I have a greater authority. Amen. But I'm a police officer. You're a police officer in a different jurisdiction.
Yep.
I have a greater authority. Do you see my point?
Yes.
A police officer from Florida can't come in here in St. Louis and pull over police or pull over anybody and right. give them a ticket. Why? They don't have jurisdiction.
Right.
They don't have authority in this area. Stay with me. They don't have authority. They might have a police car. They might have a badge. But their badge identifies where they have authority at.
Right.
They have authority in Florida, which is a big deal. But when you come to Missouri, we're the show me state.
Come on.
It's no big deal here.
Right.
Do you see my point?
Right.
The devil might have authority, and I'm not saying he doesn't have authority. But when it comes to the children of God, he has no authority in your life. He might be a big deal to others, but in your life, he is no big deal.
Amen.
Say, no big deal.
No big deal.
Sometimes you can't just hear it. You got to hear yourself say it. I'm telling you, next time, God forbid, the doctor give you a bad report, I want the first thing out of your mouth is, no big deal. God forbid that your boss says, I don't know, it's looking bad, it's been rough, we might have to close, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep people around. I want you to walk out of that place not discouraged, not crying, and not panicking. I want you to walk out knowing that you are a child of the Most High God, and you are exempt from the tactic of the enemy, and you can say with your mouth, you better say it with your mouth, you'll be able to say, no big deal.
Right.
It will change the game. Say,
no big deal.
We got to include that in our world, in our language some. I'm keeping you a little longer than normal, but let me, years ago, and I mean probably about 18, 19 years ago, I've told this story before, but through just the ebb and flow and what we were dealing with at that time in the church many, many, many years ago. And you got to grow in levels of faith and grow through revelation and truth. And so the church was going through a season in those days where it was getting tight financially. And I found myself become a little jaded. I wasn't like angry, but you know, comments. People would say something and then you think it and you want to say it and little comments. And I found myself getting a little jaded. And one day on my day off, I was running errands and I went to pick up some food, went through a drive-thru. And I came home, and my plans was that particular day, I was going to eat lunch, watch some TV, take a nap, and then start studying for the weekend. And so I was walking, and I set the food down when I came in. And as I walked in, I thought, oh, I don't have any ketchup. They forgot to give me ketchup. I hate when people don't give you ketchup. You order fries. Everybody wants ketchup. It's just a natural thing. Why even ask? Do you want ketchup? Of course. It's a fry. It's like asking, give me a soda. Do you want a straw with that? Well, if you're going to give me a... Anyway, you want napkins? No, I just like the food to fall everywhere and stay on my clothes all day so I can be reminded for the rest of the day where I and what I've eaten. Yeah, it's like, thank you for that. So anyway, so I was like, oh, they didn't give me ketchup. And I thought, oh, I got to get some ketchup. So I walk in from the TV room into the kitchen. Wasn't thinking anything spiritual. Wasn't thinking about the Bible. I was thinking about ketchup. And I was trying to move fast because I want my food to be somewhat warm when I'm eating it, after you get it. And so as I'm walking through to get the ketchup in the kitchen, I got about halfway to the refrigerator, and all of a sudden I found myself. I wasn't thinking. It was, and this stuff does not happen to me every day. And people that it does happen every day to are probably, well, let's just say they're not completely being honest. Okay, so we'll leave that alone. But it can't happen. There's always extremes that people will take stuff. Some people say they've walked on the streets of gold with Jesus 100 times. I think they're walking somewhere, but I don't think it was with Jesus. So anyway, and I don't think that was gold. But anyway, so there's a balance to everything. So I'm walking through to the kitchen to get some ketchup, minding my own business, not thinking anything, and I found myself in the presence of God. All I can tell you is that I found myself, it was like I was, okay, my hands are raised. Why are my hands raised? If my hands are raised, I'm just sobbing and crying, which is not typically my temperament, and I am praying in the spirit deeply out of my spirit. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some maybe not, and that's still okay.
And I found myself interceding and praying in the Spirit. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me very clearly, if this is all you can handle, this is as far as I can take you. If this is all you can handle, this is as far as I can take you. And I walked out of that experience with the understanding with the, of the phrase, no big deal. So when the devil tries to get my goat or stress me out or do something, I've learned not to react to it but say, no big deal. Because to possess the land, you're going to have to deal with some kingdoms. You're going to have to deal with some opposition. Like we talked about before, Jesus stood up in the boat against the winds that were creating the problem. He wasn't hiding in the boat and praying. He was standing up. You're going to be willing to stand up against opposition and realize and let the opposition know that it's no big deal here.
Right.
Say, no big deal.
No big deal.
Come on, shout, no big deal.
No big deal.
So next time someone calls you, oh, and they're all frantic-y because the world's coming to the end of the world and you want to panic and OMG, you need to say, no big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
And on a side note, and don't take this wrong, because I don't promote one side or the other, Republican, Democrat, independent, and now socialist, God help us. But anyway, politicians are great at getting people to act, and this is a marketing technique. It's called a fear factor. Politicians are great at using fear to get people to act and hate other people.
Right, right.
Pharmaceutical companies are great at this. Have you ever seen a commercial and they said, do you ever get tired? After eating a large turkey dinner? Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night? You might need our medicine. I mean, they give stuff that anybody could say almost yes to. And then at the end, they give somebody who's a very fast talker, and I cannot imitate that by any means, but give you a list of 20 things. Have you ever had a headache? You need our medicine. Oh, by the way, it could cause stroke, death, blindness, right? In marketing, it's called fear. That's what the devil uses, though. The devil uses fear to motivate and rattle your cage. You have to be willing to stand up and say, no big deal. But I feel it. Don't worry about what you feel. Romans tells us not to be moved by what we feel, hear, or see. Just say, no big deal. Shout, no big deal.
No big deal.
Come on, let me get through this. Okay, say,
no big deal.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and what? Obtained promises. Obtained promises.
Yes.
Obtained promises. Obtained promises. Promises. Again, how do I obtain the promises? By faith. How do I operate? Instead of trying to set goals this year and coming up with resolutions and copy people, let me give you a process to help you discover so that you can look up and begin to see the fruit that your Heavenly Father wants you to reach for this year. What are you believing for? What's your resolution? What's your goals? Why do we even do that? Most of us, 80-something percent of them, you know what I mean, are done within the first 2 weeks. We don't even try anymore. It's because we're reaching for everything. And none of it is what God's called us maybe to reach for in that particular season. What is God calling you to look up to reach toward? You don't go for an apple on a tree and say, just start waving your hands. You reach toward it. You look up, you stretch, and you focus on what you're going for and get a hold of it. You obtain it. You possess it. And then you bring it into your life. What is God revealing to you? I don't know, Pastor. How would I know? Well, like Deuteronomy 8:1 says, all the commands which I command you this day you shall observe to do. What do you see God showing you to do? How do I get to that point? Joshua 1:8, and we'll be done. Maybe not. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may, notice this, observe to do. When you spend time reading the word, and we quote Romans 10:17 a lot, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know what the beginning stage is? Faith, when you're reading the word, faith starts by making you aware of what you're supposed to reach toward.
Amen.
You spend time in the Word. You spend time studying the Word. You spend time feeding your mind and your heart the Word. And in the process, the Holy Spirit will make something come out, come alive to you, stir on the inside of you. And what is He doing? He's identifying to you what you should be reaching toward.
Amen.
And there might be a posture change, a perspective change. You got to look up and not down. You might have to stretch this way instead of that way. You might have to climb a few levels up to get to it. It part of the process. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33. But you got to understand, it's not trying to do everything. You'll exhaust yourself trying to be everything, do everything that everybody that you admire is currently doing. You have to back them and say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And as you spend time in the Word of God, He will reveal to you, as you meditate in the Word day and night, then you will notice, then you will observe to do according to all that was written. For then, after you know what to do, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success.
Amen.
Why? Because God wants you to come up a little higher. Because
yes.
He loves you. He's paid it for you. Don't let the devil tell you, well, it didn't work the first time. Maybe you should just not. It's a lot of work you tried before and it didn't work. No, learn from it. Grow from it. Begin to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then pursue it.
Amen.
Possess the land.
Yes.
Possess the land. Claim that verse. Just don't read that verse and say a verse. Say, that's my verse. I claim, Father, I thank you. I claim 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes I am healed. I claim that. I take ownership of that. That becomes mine. That's just not a verse. That's my verse because you've revealed it to me. And I believe I receive. Mark 11:24. I believe I receive. I have it. It's mine. Mark 11 says that when you pray, believe that you receive it and then you shall have it. You have to have ownership of it. You have to possess it before you see it. You have to possess it before it materializes. So you got to see it in the realm of God before you see it in the natural realm. Are you listening to me? But there'll be people that will try to talk you out of it. But one day you walk through the process, they'll say, how in the world did you get there? I remember when you were at this level, now you're way up there. I remember when you were struggling with this and now you are blessed with this. How did you get there? You know what you did. You just begin to reach for the fruit that God had for you, that He has already produced for you, that's available to you. You're not taking out of somebody else's basket. You're not robbing it out of somebody else's bag. You're not taking off somebody else's ledge. No, you're taking what God has made available for anybody who's willing to dare to believe, and you're reaching for. And what is my word to you today? I'm telling you, He's got much more for you than you can imagine or think. I want to encourage you to begin to reach higher today. I want you to look this year, and it might be different for every person, but you need to walk through this year and say, Father, I thank you that this year I'm going to reach higher for the greater things that you have for me. I'm not going to insult you with small, insignificant stuff. My prayer shouldn't be, oh, God, deal with that person. It hurt my feelings. Sure, let God deal with them. He is the just reward. He will get revealed. You need to be saying, God, there is my whole school needs to get saved. My whole school needs to get saved. I'm praying that you use me to impact my school. It's been done before. There's been revivals in schools done by students in the school.
Amen.
Don't just pray, oh, God, help me not get a virus, and if I do, help me not to die. You ought to pray, Lord, I pray that not one person in my family gets it. And that every person I come in contact, if they have it, gets healed from it. I mean,
yeah.
you gotta pray some big, audacious goals.
Yes.
Prayers. Don't pray. I mean, one of my prayers is, I thank you, Father, that this sickness and disease cannot stand in my presence nor in my body in the name of Jesus. I'm the healed of the Lord. Why? Where did I get that? Because the Bible says, not just Jesus, but Peter, that he would walk through the streets. And the Bible says that the people would lay the sick people on the streets, that if his shadow comes by and touches, if the shadow of Peter can heal the sick, why not me? If the shadow of Peter can heal the sick, why not you? Because it's not you or me or Peter. It's all about Jesus. And if Peter dared to believe, oh God, I'm going to walk down the street and I thank you, whatever shadow touches, you ought to have that belief system. Grow it. Reach for big things. Reach for big things. I'm just not praying, Lord, let me pray for somebody and let them get healed. I'm praying, Lord, when I walk by people, let them get healed. Lord, when I step in the room, let demons get nervous just because I walked in the room. Let people that are wanting to be delivered immediately just because I looked at them and said something. All I might say is, good morning. It's not a cop out to not ministry. I'm saying you do one thing, but you got to stretch it. You got to reach for more. You don't say, oh God, I had a good year. Thank you that we broke even. No, you ought to say, Father, I thank you, my business. I dare to believe that we're going to double this year. I believe we're going to increase. I believe we're going to have more. I thank you, Father God, that I'm going to use that increase as you guide and direct. I thank you, Father God, for victory. Oh, at least I made it through this. No, don't pray. Pray big prayers. Reach for big stuff that you're having. Father is prepared for you.
Yeah.
Climb the tree. Climb the tree.
Begin to step back and say, that's a big tree, but God's called me to go there.
Amen.
The things that he has called you to. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads. Leads. He's not going to push you. He'll lead you. I'm inviting you in. Leads you in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance, the aroma, the cologne or perfume, whatever you want to do, of the knowledge of him. Why would God do that for you? Because he loves you. Why would God do that for you? At the next level, because he wants other people to know how good he is. Quit being intimidated by the enemy. Quit, don't you dare live under fear. You make choices, you operate your level of faith, but don't you ever do stuff out of fear.
Right.
I don't know if I should do this, do that. Well, you find out what God wants you to do and do it by faith, not by fear.
Right.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Operate by faith. Faith would cause you to not settle for just the fallen fruit. Begin to look up and say, Father, I thank you. You have more in store. And as I study the word, you're going to reveal to me what you want me to look up and focus on. And as I do it, I'm going to walk this thing out by faith and patience. And I know that as I reach forth the prize of the high calling, I am not going to come up empty.
Amen. Amen.
Because Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's where?
Heaven.
He's the one that created the standard. I didn't create the standard. He's the one said it. I didn't say it.
Right.
So if it's available to us in heaven, let's bring it down to the earth.
Yeah.
Let's bring the joy of the Lord into the earth. Let's bring the peace of God into the earth. Let's bring the presence of God. Let's do what God wants us to do. So we bring, so that when people come in contact with you, that might not even know you, when they leave you, they're going to be like, I don't know much about that person, but man, I enjoy being around them. Something's different. They don't understand. They are stepping into a dimension, a realm. They are stepping into a space that God is.
Amen.
Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap, please. We're done. Come on, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Next 30 seconds. Give him a praise like you believe it. Give him a praise that you're decided you receive it. Give him a praise that you are stopped living at the level you've been living, that you have a next level prepared by your Father for you. This year, you're going to get a hold of, possess the land that God has for you. That every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you, is Jesus real to you in a way that you know for yourself he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. Is he real to you in a way that you know, the way you experience? If not, he can be. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door, I'll come in. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you don't have to live in the world of sin. You don't have to live in the devil's camp. No, you can be a child of God. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And God's not, he won't reject anybody that comes to him. He invites you right where you're at. But Pastor, I'm so messed up. I have some stuff I have to take care of before I get saved. No, you don't take care of it. God will take care of it. You come as you are. Come as you are. Man, I hear that in my spirit. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. And guess what? He'll receive you. He'll clean you up. He'll make you new. You'll be born again. Let this prayer come from your heart. If you're ready to get saved, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you in the next 10 seconds. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you.
The Bible tells us that we can pray and ask that the Lord will give us supernatural strength on the inner man by the Spirit. Why do we need that? We need it in this day and hour. We are in the last days of the last days. But we need strength so we can stand against temptation, against sin. We need strength so we can do what God wants us to do. We need strength so we can be bold in the Lord. We need God's strength. You can't live a Christian life in these last days just doing it in the carnal way and imitating people. You need the true thing. You need God's power and life in your life. And so if you prayed that prayer and say, Pastor, I just gave my heart to the Lord, or maybe you've just rededicated your life, at the count of three, I'm going to encourage you to stand to your feet. Not to embarrass you. I'm not even going to ask you to come up. We're going to celebrate you. And if you think it's a, if you feel that struggle, the devil creeps. Just me saying that, for some people, they're like, oh, I don't want to stand up in front of people. That's the devil's tactic, because if he can get you not to stand up in front of Christians that will clap for you, what is he going to do when he gets you out there in the world and they're trying to get you to do things that's against God? We got to stand up at some point. And some of you are bold and stand quick. Some of you are passive. So those who are bold, I want you to stand up super quick to encourage the other ones. But if you just prayed that prayer and you say, Pastor, I just gave my heart to the Lord and I want to stand for him today. Let today be a crossing point for me, that I'm crossing over the line. I'm not going to be shy. I'm not going to hide out. I'm not going to fly under the radar. I'm not going to be something I'm not, but I am not going to act like I'm not saved. I am confident. I trust, and I want to let people know that I am right with God. If that's you, at the count of three, and church, I want you to clap when they stand up. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand up right now in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Amen. God bless you. 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 Come on, church. Give them a hand clap. Stay where you're standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Let me talk to you for a few seconds. First of all, I think there's a few more that you're hesitating. We'll give you just, this is important. You say, I'll just stay here and see what happens. No, you're going to miss out. Give you a few more seconds. There's somebody over to my right, but I'll let you. A few more seconds. You say, why are you waiting? Because I feel led to wait. I can... Who is that? You know you need to stand. You say, I've done this before. You've never stood up for the Lord. You've tried to fly under the radar. Who am I talking to? I don't have anybody in mind. A few more seconds. Don't miss your opportunity. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Stay standing. I'm going to pray for you in a few seconds, but let me encourage you. First of all, you need to have a Bible. If you don't, let us know. The Word is very important in our lives. Every day, just read, start in the New Testament. Don't start in Genesis, start in the New Testament. Also, if you're not part of this church, we want to invite you and welcome you to Hope Church. You need a church family. That's so important. Develop relationships to be part of, okay? You need a cause. That means let God show you who, but find somebody that you can invest into their life to help them grow and get saved. You say, I just got saved. Yeah, but you know more than maybe some of your friends that haven't gotten saved. But don't try everybody. Find the somebody that God shows you. Amen? That's one of the hiccups I've seen in the church world, and I've been in it my whole life, is people get saved and they'll get their stuff taken care of and they'll stop, and then they go back because they stop in releasing into their other lives what God is doing in their life. That's why I included it. But we do things a little different. We're not going to chase you into a side room. That kind of freaks me out when people do that. We don't try to catch what we're called fishers of men. We don't catch fish that don't want to be caught. So if you want us to be in your life, if you want me to be praying for you, just go to the information center and let them know, and they'll fill out and you can give us your information, and then we'll contact you. That's simple. But we're not going to try to. I hate when everybody's got their style and they got to do their thing. I just personally, if I stood up and they asked me to go to the next room, the smaller, that freaks me out personally. I don't know, maybe not for anybody. I'm going to do it in front of everybody. I don't need to take somebody to a side room. But that's just my opinion. So I want to first welcome to the family of God. We're so proud of you. We love you. If you would, take a second. And stretch one, at least one hand up. I'm going to pray for you. If you would just stretch. Might be different for you, but that's okay. It's like a sign of surrender. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that accepted you and got saved today and came back to giving their heart to you. I seal them with the blood of Jesus. We sanctify them. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing, that work in them. And I pray according to your word that you would strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. Empower them to live for you. Give them the desires to serve you. We thank you. We curse and bind all addictions and attractions of the world and sin. And thank you, Father God, for victory in every area of their life. Starting this day forward, let them never be the same again. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Give them a big hand clap again, church. Amen. Yeah. Amen.